is going to be a great week. And I want to kick us off by celebrating our incredible President Joe Biden.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll keep working to bring hostages home and end the war in Gaza and bring peace and security to the Middle East. We're working around the clock, my Secretary of State, to prevent a wider war and reunite hostages with their families and surge humanitarian health and food assistance into Gaza now. To end the civilian suffering of the Palestinian people, and finally deliver a ceasefire and end this war. Those protesters out in the street, they have a point. A lot of innocent people are being killed on both sides. Let me know in my heart when my days are through. America, America, I gave my best to you.
All right, Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. He gave our best to us. I must have missed that. I must have missed that best. I think I also missed the part where he did a shout out to Israel for the way they suffered on the attack of October the 6th. I think I missed that. I think I heard Hamas is the victim. Gaza, we need to have peace because of their suffering so much. Nothing about Israel. And a shout out to the protesters in the streets, the 100,000 that supposedly are descending upon Chicago. And by the way, I meant to do a breakdown of those protesters. I'll just tell you, we touched on this with another guest a couple of weeks ago. These protests are an interesting mix of Islamists and communists. Islamists and communists. Perhaps we'll do a breakdown of that on a later show, but that's the way it's going. The Democratic National Convention is taking place in Chicago right now, or at least it is while we're speaking to you. And so we're going to bring you a really interesting conversation with a leader there in Chicago, former candidate for governor, former state rep, who is a powerhouse in Chicago. She does a talk show on WND AM 560, which was my sister station when I was in Chicago. And she's going to give us an idea of what's happening there. But first, let me just tell you, you can call us, you know, at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. Or you can write us at sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net. You can find us on social media posts. I'm preferring Twitter right now. My handle on Twitter is @SandyRiosTweet. If you want to know what is actually happening and what's true in the world, Twitter is the place to go, @SandyRiosTweet. You can find the podcast on any podcast platform, AFR.net, any Spotify, Apple, whatever your favorite is. And you can also find it at SandyRios.com. So that's pretty much the story on that. Well, abortion is kind of a theme of this convention because they love all abortions for all 9 months. And many Democrats actually support abortion even after the baby is born, or at least killing the baby, that you don't have to keep it. It is bizarre, it's frightening, and yet they're doing it. I will play a clip in the show today illustrating a girl outside of the convention telling Jack Posobiec that she's going to have an abortion at the convention. They're giving away free abortions and free vasectomies. It's sick. It's so sick. It's so base. And I just hope and pray that the American people can get past the bells and whistles and see what's actually happening here. We are talking about real-time propaganda, dangerous propaganda to get the vote and support of the American people and then have the people turn around on us. Reminds me very much of Cambodia when I was there a number of years ago, and they described to me the Cambodians when the Khmer Rouge, that's the red Khmer Rouge, marched into Phnom Penh. They thought that they were being delivered. They were going to be free. The Vietnam War had just ended, and they welcomed them as heroes. But guess what happened? The Khmer Rouge, the communists that they were, began rounding up the people and killing them, slaughtering them. That's what the killing fields were based on. stacking up their skulls in these towers, shooting them, throwing them into pits. And I'm just telling you, I don't know what Kamala and her vice president have in mind for us in particular, but they are sympathetic to the communist cause and very actually aggressive about introducing it. So don't let them have this power. Don't let them have this power. I got off on a rant there, but it's important. If you want to save lives, forget about politics. There's a way to do it that transcends all of this that we're talking about, and that's through Preborn. Preborn.com/Sandy. Maybe they'd let this girl who's bragging about having an abortion at the convention, if she could see her baby, I wonder if she would. I wonder if those girls would who are coming to the convention for free abortions. Can you imagine that? I can't. So Preborn shows these girls, however hard they are, photos of their baby in utero. Go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. All right, well, here we go. Sit back, and I think you will enjoy this, and hopefully you will learn some important things on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Let me ask you. Let me ask you. Are you ready to vote for freedom?
Yeah.
Are you ready to vote for democracy and for America? Let me ask you, are you ready to elect Kamala Harris and Tim Walz? President and Vice President of the United States. My fellow Democrats, my fellow Americans, nearly 4 years ago, in winter, on the steps of the Capitol, on a cold January day, I raised my right hand and I swore an oath to you and to God, to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, and to faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States. In front of me was the city surrounded by the National Guard. Behind me, a Capitol just 2 weeks before had been overrun by a violent mob. What I knew then, from the bottom of my heart, that I knew now, there is no place in America for political violence. None. You cannot say you love your country only when you win.
All right, Sandy Rios. That was President Joe Biden. I think he's still president. We don't see him. He's not really actually doing anything, but he's the president. He spoke. As I'm speaking to you, this is the day after the opening night of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Reminds me, in 1996, I was there at the convention when Bill Clinton was running, and we had a big, huge platform outside, and we were separated by a fence from the United Center, and we had so many protesters. That at that time, it was like rabidly anti-life, you know, women screaming at me, and I remember singing on the stage. And then we marched ourselves toward the United Center as close as we could get. We thought things were tense then. We thought the world was in real peril because of the policies of President Clinton, and never could we have foreseen what has happened in this last 20-plus years. But here we are today, and so today in Chicago, the Democratic National Convention is raging. There are 100,000 protesters. At least that was what the projection was. Pro-Hamas protesters on the streets. And so the city of Chicago, of course, is our hometown, my husband and I. Very familiar turf. And I wanted to talk about it in a personal way today. So I've asked Jeannie Ives to join me. Jeannie and I, our paths crossed when I came back from Concerned Women for America a number of years ago and headed an organization called Culture Campaign. And little did I know when I met this really fine person, and I'm going to describe her resume, what God would do in her life. She was a graduate of West Point. She served 3 terms, and that's after I left Illinois, as a Illinois state representative. She is known for her courage. She just does not bend. She does not break. In 2018, she ran for governor against the Republican incumbent, Bruce Rahn, and she nearly beat him, by the way. And without hardly any funding, just grassroots support. In 2020, she was the Republican nominee for Congress in Illinois. And now she hosts a radio show on my sister station from the years I was there. It's AM 560 WIND. On Sunday nights. It's called The Real Story with Jeannie Ives. And I've asked her to join us this morning to talk about that big event that's taking place in Chicago right now. Jeannie, thanks for joining me this morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I mean, it may be your hometown. It's also Obama's hometown.
Oh, yes.
And of course, Hillary Clinton is from here. So, I mean, we've just got the whole, you know, it's like a big family reunion down there at the United Center, I guess.
I think you're right. And we should be so proud, right? I always think... Wisconsin's the home of American communism, but Illinois, just across the border, has done a pretty good job, too. I know that's a radical statement, but I can back that up with, if I had the time, but I won't. Jeannie,
well,
when you
certainly
went to...
can. Yeah, no, you certainly can back that up. I mean, look at Brandon Johnson's latest initiative is state-owned grocery stores. If that doesn't speak to socialism and communism, then I don't know what else does.
Well, and then Kamala, price-fixing, and then that speech that she made about drug manufacturers saying if they did not comply, she would take their patents, and we will just take over the business, take over the patent. This is the talk of communism, is it not, Jeannie?
Absolutely. But probably more disappointing than anything last night was Cardinal Supich's opening invocation at the DNC. First of all, the fact that he was even present there. When the Democrats absolutely don't agree with anything that we agree with on life. I mean, they're so radicalized on abortion and anti-life that he should not have even showed up. But then in his remarks, I mean, he only spoke about God. There was no mention of Jesus Christ. There was no mention of protecting the unborn. There was no mention of school choice in education. It was all an ecumenical sort of God speech. That is anathema to who we are as Catholics.
You know, when I was there, the Cardinal was such a strong believer of the Catholic faith. In fact, he used to come to a lot of our pro-life meetings, Jeannie. I'm just blanking out on his name. But George.
Cardinal George. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Cardinal George, yes. He actually was... this is an aside and a personal comment, but he actually became friends with Dr. Lutzer, pastor of Moody Church. So it's just a, you know, this even the church, of course, has lost its way. And so the Catholic Church has lost its way. So I guess I shouldn't be too surprised. Jeannie, let's go back. Before we get too much into the convention, I want to go back in your life. And at West Point, when you went, didn't they have some really strong instruction about communism, or had they already taken that out?
Oh, no. I felt like we had... when I went to West Point, I entered in 1983, and so it was under Reagan's entire plan of peace through strength. You know, he gave that famous speech in 1986, Mr. Gorbachev, tear this wall down. I mean, that was our mission. You know, back then... And I served in West Germany as my first assignment, which was West Germany. It was not Germany. So there was really no other sort of active war places going on. So if you were in Germany at that time, you were on the front lines, so to speak. They were still expecting, you know, Soviet troops to come across the Fulda Gap. And so, yeah, definitely that was part of our understanding of what it meant to go to war, is that we were going to take on communism still.
Jeannie, I didn't know you were in West Germany because I lived in Berlin, Germany. Where were you in West Germany?
So I was stationed in Kaiserslautern, and the best thing is that I went under, I went in under Ronald Reagan, and I was serving in Germany when the wall fell. So you really saw the fruition of leadership and policy, backed by policy, by the way, that led to the fall of the wall. And I just think that that was just so monumental in my life because I had been to East Germany and East Berlin as a young kid. You know, when I was 16, we took I went with a university group over there. And I think that that is kind of missing from current students' upbringing. They don't get a chance to actually see what communism looks like.
I totally agree. And I'll just say this, and before we move on, because we will, that I just wrote a book, Jeannie. It's called God's Velvet Hammer. And I start the book by talking about how my time in Berlin, and this was during the Cold War, just formed my mind and my heart. Of course, I'd heard about communism in school. We were still talking about it then. But to just actually see it and to travel into East Berlin and see the silence and the oppression, it marked me for life. And it's really interesting that, mm-hmm. that God gave you that experience too. Because it does mark you when you see people that are not free. All right, so Chicago. I'm really curious to know, Jeannie, you know, now the United Center, people wouldn't know, this is kind of on the south side of the Chicago. It's not downtown, and it's kind of away from a lot of the nicer places, I guess I would say. Maybe that's different now. Maybe the south is all developed, is it?
Well, no, it's actually, this is straight west of Chicago. It's west of West Loop, and it's a very near one of the most deadly neighborhoods in Chicago at this time. In fact, the Austin neighborhood abuts really where United Center sits. And if you're headed to the United Center, you simply go to the United Center and you do not go to the surrounding neighborhoods to the west of the United Center. East, you get into a little bit, you know, going east, going back into downtown, which is, you know, the loop's maybe a mile from the United Center. It gets progressively better. But if you go west from the United Center, you're in dangerous territory. And one of the things I did with my newsletter, and if people want to look at what I do, they could go to breakthrough-ideas.com and they can read. I put out the top 10 sites that the Democrats should visit since they want to see, you know, they're all about, this is a political event and politicians make policy. Well, why don't you see the fruition of your policy? Just visit these sites in Chicago. And one of them that I point out is in the Austin neighborhood where 7-year-old Jemani Amir Rivera was shot in the chest as he left his home. He was just headed to visit another neighbor. When he reached the sidewalk, someone just started shooting him in the middle of the day, 3 p.m. This is within walking distance of the United Center, and they should go see him. He's one of 336 that have been shot to death so far this year in Chicago. 336 shot to death so far. And, you know, of course, Biden got up there last night and you know, argued that crime was at its lowest amount. that's not true. That's not true. Crime is accelerated.
Well, it's fantasy, but mm-hmm. tell me again, breakdown-ideas.
Breakthrough-ideas.com. Breakthrough-ideas.com.
Okay.
Yeah. I started Ideas to connect the dots on policy and politicians.
Okay,
for
great.
Voters.
Now, here's the irony, Jeannie. I talk a lot about this. I bet you do too, about the lack of border now that we're just an open country and we're being flooded. And you certainly are in Chicago because you're getting some help from Governor Abbott and others who are sending illegal immigrants to Chicago. But you've got your own share. And we can't have a wall because that's, you know, we're racist if we want a wall. And yet, what did the Democrats do around the United Center? They built a wall so that people can't get in. Isn't that ironic?
Well, they didn't just build one wall. They actually have a layering system. They built an entire second wall. And then the protest march route is being also walled off so that you have essentially police officers on either side of the protest marchers and following them down the protest for 3 blocks. You have a total wall of police officers as well to hold things in abeyance.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And then, and of course, and I'll just add as an aside, you have to show ID to get into Kamala Harris's rallies. Oh, such hypocrites. They, if they're talking, they're lying. That's just the truth.
Well, and then unfortunately, these conventions are often touted as a way to enhance economic development. You know, this is going to be a big economic boon. And then certainly in Chicago, the more money people spend down there, the better for the city and the state. I mean, they have a 10.25% sales tax rate. And if you want to buy your pot too, go ahead, buy your marijuana there. That's got a 30% tax rate. You know, we want your taxes. Okay, so come on down. But unfortunately, a number of businesses, despite all the security and then bringing in thousands of more police officers from surrounding areas, a number of businesses don't feel safe still. And in fact, they've just boarded up and said, we're just going to close for the duration of the DNC.
Well,
that's sad.
Absolutely. And then I've been hearing, see, we're so far away. All I know is little bits of this and that. But of course, on the Magnificent Mile, which is where all the beautiful shops are, not far from the lake, it's the huge towers. It's the old Chicago Water Tower still mm-hmm. standing. It's all of our history. Loyola lives down there. That's where people will go. And what kind of protection do they have? Do you know, Jeannie? I heard that some are just boarding up their stores because that's where huge stores are that have been sacked before by the gangs.
Well, that is their concern. And in fact, one particular owner of a men's store, Scott Shapiro, said, "We have experience with this. The city doesn't have a great track record with protecting their businesses or their citizens' property. So we want to be preemptive and board up in advance of the Democratic convention." That's what he said to Fox News.
Wow.
Well, it's a sad statement.
What are you hearing? You're on the air. Do you do 5 days a week, Jeannie?
I don't. I wish I could, but no, I just do a Sunday night show.
Okay.
Kind of, it's Illinois focused, but we do take on national issues.
Well, how are people in Chicago responding to this? Is it that they're a welcoming spirit, or is there? What is your sense of it?
So I have not gone down. I was down last week and they were starting to board up already. But I would say that the economic activity, the street economic activity, for example, you know, tourists out shopping, enjoying the sights, enjoying the, you know, the awesome food that we have and everything, that has really diminished ever since COVID. It's just never come back. And you've got high vacancy rates. In fact, you have some of the highest commercial property vacancy rates. So you don't even have the economic activity that's generated just simply because you have workers downtown in office buildings. Office vacancy rates are, you know, higher than they've ever been. And so the city is struggling, quite frankly. And I think the citizens just go about, they do what they need to do. I will say that a number of them were surprised because not only did they wall off around McCormick Center and United Center, which was actually projected and explained to the citizens and people were told, they also walled off other parts of the city just for general protection. And I think that's from your opportunists that would come in and just do a lot of street crime, because crime has permeated nearly every single section of the city, including the luxury areas where, for example, J.B. Pritzker lives. So that's been, some of that has been fenced off as well. And that was a shock to many people.
Yeah, I want to just say, because, as I said, Bruce and I, Chicago is our home. Wheaton is actually my home, but Bruce and I married, were in Chicago, and Bruce is from Chicago. So Chicago was one of the most beautiful cities in this country. I had a friend who was a Spanish countess a long time ago, Jeannie. I met her through radio, and she lived in Spain, but she had an apartment in New York City, and she used to say to me, you know, Chicago, New York is an international city, but Chicago is an American city. And it was true. It was vibrant, beautiful. It's just heart-wrenching to see what's happened to it. But let's come back to the convention, because I want to, let's talk more about it. I want to play just a little excerpt that I listened to part of this last night, Jeannie. Senator Warnock speaking, and then it goes into the state rep, whatever she is, that talked about Project 2025. And I want people to get a touch of it and then just get your thoughts about it. This is clip two.
Donald Trump's America is the America of January 6th. People who have no vision traffic in division. He does not know how to lead us, and so he wants to divide us. America, make no mistake, Donald Trump is a plague on the American conscience.
I'm Michigan State Senator Mallory McMorrow, and this is Project 2025. Over the next four nights, you are going to hear a lot about what is in this 900-page document. Why? Because this is the Republican blueprint for a second Trump term. As I approached Vice President Harris for our official photo, she turned to me and asked, "What's wrong?" Mind you, we'd never met, but she saw right through me. She saw the distress. I immediately began crying.
Okay, I'm going to cut in on there because she goes on. She tells the most powerful woman in the world gave me a Kleenex. It's basically what she says. Jeannie, I'd love I can say a lot of things, but I want your comments, your thoughts.
You know, nobody is divided as more than the Democrat Party, because everything is based on division. It's based on your race. It's based on your gender. It's based on your ideology. They have done more to divide America than anybody else. And, you know, this goes back to Biden's remarks as well, you know, talking about, Biden says, "I'm standing there on the platform and, you know, I'm surrounded by National Guard men that we had to bring in because the Capitol was assaulted." And I think to myself, you're the ones who did all of this. You're the ones who refused to protect the Capitol. You're the ones who created the division. You're the ones who, for whatever reason, lose my chain of thought there. You're the ones, though, that continue to divide Americans, and that's the truth. So that's on Warnock. I mean, the Project 2025 stuff, though, is very, very disturbing, because the Center for American Progress did the same thing for the Democrats. Here's their blueprint for how the Democrats should govern. Every administration has somebody in the weeds, some think tank who wants their input into what would be the right policies. That's all Project 2025 is a think tank project about doing this. Remember, it was Romney who's had the binder full of women or something, right?
Yes, he did have binder. That's what they said.
Okay, so they said he had a binder full of women that he should consider for particular positions. You don't think the Democrats have their binder full of folks that they should consider for positions when a new administration comes in? Of course they do. Of course they do. So Project 2025, actually, it's a great project. And in fact, I'm part of MacArthur Society, and we submitted a proposal to Project 2025 to have a complete look at the service academies who have gone woke, where you have West Point has a diversity minor. Are you kidding me? Who are teaching Marxist ideology to cadets. And so, yeah, we have a proposal in there too. And it's a serious proposal, because we have a problem with officership in the military.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to talk to you about that on a different show. I really would, Jeannie. Let me just say, Project 2025, I'll say quickly, was led by Russ Vaught. Russ is a graduate of Wheaton College, by the way, Jeannie. And he was Office of Public OPM for Donald Trump. And Senator McConnell actually held up his nomination for months and months and months. We thought Russ would never get in there. So Russ is not, of course, with the government now. He's not working with the Trump campaign. This project was like the product of, I think I read 100 think tanks. Heritage was the main voice. It's like the wish list for conservatives. And that's what this got them so exercised. But Jeannie, one thing I noticed last night in the part that I did hear, is there's such bitterness and criticism. It was like a grievance fest. And I think I can be objective. I didn't see the Republican convention that way. It was people telling great stories. They did a lot of stories about President Trump, but not just that, their lives and how they had been changed. this is kind of a grievance fest. Did you take it that way?
Yeah, no. I mean, Biden, I watched all of Biden's speech, and I watched a couple of the other ones as well. And it was just the angry old man speech again, all over again. And it was chock full of lies, but it was not optimistic. It was not aspirational, even though he spoke and said that we have these aspirational goals. The way that he delivered it was not aspirational. It was an attack. And, you know, this whole idea that, you know, Donald Trump's going to destroy democracy. Are you kidding me? You handed your nomination over to somebody who didn't win a single vote. I mean, it's just hypocrisy of the highest order. It wasn't aspirational. You're absolutely right. And, you know, back to one comment that woman made, and I don't remember who it was.
Mallory McMorris.
Her comment, like Kamala Harris, the most powerful woman in the world. That's scary.
It really is scary. It's
frightening. And, you know, there's so many people that do not have skin in the game. I have skin in the game. I have sons serving in the military. One is at med school right now. He just graduated from West Point, so he's not in the military. But my other son's a Navy pilot. And her as commander-in-chief scares the hell out of me.
You know, I just talked actually, Jeannie, to Gordon Chang, who's going to be, we'll be doing the show with him. And Gordon was just talking about how bad things are getting. And so I know that is very personal to you. That's very personal to you. And I wish it were personal to more people. But we need to make it personal. We need to help people to understand how dangerous this all is. And we just cannot elect these people who hate our country. And I want one last thing that you and I, not maybe the last thing, but almost, this is something that you and I care a great deal about, I know, and that is the sanctity of life. It's almost that phrase even gets used so much that we forget how very egregious this issue is. And there's a struggle over articulating it. You know, in 2022, Republican consultants told their candidates not to talk about that issue. And so the Democrats went wild painting the Republicans as wanting to do away with all abortions and just women's rights. They made much of it. They've had a lot of success with that. But just to show how radical, I think Carrie Lake is the only person who actually made that case the way she made it. This is what I saw, this interaction, and I wanted to play it for you, Jeannie. This was outside of the convention. It's interaction. You know, actually, I'm losing my, I forgot who this is, and I'll think of it in a second, but I don't know the woman, but this is what she says. This is clip 9.
How many abortions have you had? How many abortions have you had? How many abortions have you had today?
DNC. I'm getting paid by George Soros to have an abortion on the stage with no drugs.
Which way are you going? Which way are you going?
What do you mean, which way?
Which type of abortion?
What kind of abortions are there, Jack?
There's pills, there's tools, there's a number of ways.
So it's going to be on stage. So a normal person would think that they would use tools, right? And vacuum it out and do all of that. Like if I took a pill that takes several days and nothing happens, you won't see anything. So you should probably like study how female anatomy works.
That was Jack Posobiec. That's who that was asking. Isn't that bizarre? I don't know if she really meant that, Jeannie. I don't know if she was just mocking him at both ends. I don't know, but that's really... That she
There's
captures
no way.
The spirit.
Yeah. That absolutely, she captures the spirit. And it's, I mean, the fact that they have a mobile Planned Parenthood clinic offering free abortions and vasectomies, it just tells you everything you know about this. You need to know about this party. I mean, this is their value proposition, you know, that, and great, you know. Also, though, it shows, can you imagine this idea? You know what? Yeah, I've always kind of wanted that vasectomy. Might as well do it during the DNC. I can have the procedure in the morning and, yeah, I'll be ready for the primetime speeches at night. I mean, can you imagine making that decision? So this shows you how immoral these people are. They lack self-control. They lack advanced planning, if anything, you know, at a minimum. And they don't value human life whatsoever. It's very, very disturbing.
You know what else struck me when she said, as I thought about what she said, I thought, you know, J.D. Vance just caught it recently for saying that what we're up against is a bunch of childless women with cats. And of course, he said a lot more than that. That wasn't he had a much more thoughtful approach, but that's the phrase they pulled out. But really and truly, we're talking about people who, if this doesn't illustrate the hatred or disinterest or disdain for children, what would? If who is going to be getting a vasectomies? Older men with five kids there or young men? I mean, what in the world? Why would you encourage that, Jeannie?
Look, actually, I'm kind of happy that these men won't be reproducing.
Well, there's a thought.
I mean, but I'm not, you know, look, I have this meme that I came across, and they took the word abortion and they changed just two letters and made it adoption. I mean, and we really need to start encouraging that for these mindless folks. The other thing that's really alarming is that nearly 50% of the abortions are not a first-time abortion. They're second and third times. These are women out of control, and this is their mechanism for just, I guess, solving their problems that they can't solve elsewhere.
Well, and I always think the irony is, from my perspective, also from having covered this for so many years, that it is actually the men cheerleading this. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, you know, mm-hmm. it's new, kind of new to have women excited mm-hmm. about abortion. That's new. You know, to celebrate their abortions, that really is new. Because it's really, the irony is the feminists don't seem to stop and think that it's the men who benefit the most from this. It's not them. And so, but that's, anyway, we needed to make that point that that's what they're doing. Any last thoughts from you about Chicago or about this particular convention that you want to share?
Well, I would say that Chicago is only going to be saved by other Republican states showing the way, because eventually people do move for their own self-interest. And when all the lights come down and the confetti has been swept up from the DNC, people are going to go back to the grocery store, back to the gas station, and they're going to say, and they're going to open up their property tax bill in Chicago and elsewhere in Illinois, and they're going to say, you know, I just can't afford this. I can't afford it, and I'm going to move. And that's how the Democrat Party is going to further divide America. People are just going to move away from it because they see no hope for changing it at the ballot box in places like Minnesota, like Illinois. And so we're going to continue to become a divided nation, and Chicago's not going to learn its lesson until the rich in the wealthy suburbs of Chicago wake up and things happen to them, whether it's crime or they get priced out of their fancy house. And unfortunately, so many people have to be punished first before they understand the ramifications of public policy. So that's, I think, what's going to happen. You're going to see more and more people divide simply by moving away from it.
Okay. Well, Jeannie, I want to remind people that your ideas can be found at breakthrough-ideas.com, breakthrough-ideas.com, and also her show on AM 560. I cannot find, what's the name of it again?
It's The Real Story with Jeannie Ives on AM 560, Sunday nights, 7 to 9 p.m.
Okay, and I can't underscore the importance of Jeannie's voice in Chicago. Don't mistake even this one conversation. Jeannie is a powerhouse, and her voice is huge in the state of Illinois. And I just hope WIND will give you a 5-day slot, Jeannie, if you can handle that. It's a lot of work, I'll tell you. But
I'm sure.
Just so that your words and your wisdom can be just delivered to the fine people of Chicago who are caught in that mess. But Jeannie Ives, thank you so much. God bless you. And it's great having you on today. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
You know, we've seen and heard some horrendous cheering and cheerleading of abortion in the Democratic National Convention by the Democrats. One woman was actually boasting about she said she was paid to have an abortion on stage live. I don't know if that's that came to pass, but I actually saw that, bragging about it, boasting. This is where we are. It's like we've gone back into the heathen, pagan world that we have often read about. We read in the Old Testament, but we certainly read in history, where we have no regard for life, And so because of that, I think girls really need a different way. They need to be persuaded. And the best persuasion of all, given that they're in this culture where they hear all of this stuff and are persuaded that it doesn't matter if they take the life of their baby, it's seeing that baby inside of them that makes the difference. And that's what preborn does, shows these girls that life within them. And God help them if that doesn't move them. But most of them, it does. It does. And so that's why preborn is so important. If you would like to help us save babies with preborn, through preborn, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. It was my disabled daughter. I talk about I Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at afr.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, let me ask you about her running mate, Tim Walz, and particularly on the issue of immigration. Obviously, some of his policies in his state have come into focus. He signed into law initiatives allowing undocumented immigrants to apply for driver's licenses, quality free tuition at public universities, and enroll in the state's free health care program for low-income residents. Would you like to see the Harris administration adopt those same policies, Governor?
Well, I can tell you, you know, Tim Walz is a pragmatic guy. He's a Midwesterner just like me. And I think some of the wonderful things he's done in Minnesota resonate with, you know, Americans in all states.
All right. Well, that was Governor Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan. She's excited about Tim Walz, who is the vice presidential candidate. I'm not so excited about him because of his ties to China. And sometime we'll talk about it more. But let's just say when he was a teacher, a social studies teacher, He had his honeymoon in Red China. He got married, actually, on the day of the massacre in Tiananmen Square. His wife said, oh, he just wanted a date that he could remember well. So there's a little more to it than that. But that's Tim Walz, who just pats himself on the chest and smiles. He's just a great guy. Bruce, I've asked Bruce to join me because Bruce was watching the convention. He saw more of it than I did last night. So, honey, thank you for joining me. I'm anxious to hear what your thoughts were about what you saw.
Well, we really went through the looking glass last night at the Democratic National Convention. Things were just distorted beyond belief. It actually was upsetting to me to watch the lying and the deception that was going on You had people standing up for Joe Biden, waving these signs, "We heart Joe," and they showed Nancy Pelosi, hoisting her sign, and it's all hypocrisy. We know through sources that Nancy Pelosi is probably the biggest pusher of getting Joe Biden out of being renominated to run for president.
They stabbed him in the back. They turned against him. It was treachery against him to get him out in that way. And as I understand it, they blackmailed him that they would call out the 25th Amendment to declare him incompetent if he didn't resign.
Yeah, it really was.
These friends of his.
What you referred to earlier as a grievance fest. All you had to do was look at the lineup of speakers. It was, talk about a rogue's list. You had Maxine Waters, you know, talking about being united. Meanwhile, she's the one that keeps telling people to get in the face of Republicans.
Get in their face, yeah.
Political
violence.
They
don't belong here. Tell them to get out.
Dick Durbin with a Trump bash. Dick Durbin, we know as former Illinois residents, is one of the biggest liars. He's the smoothest liar I've ever seen, other than maybe Christopher Wray with the FBI. They kept parading out different union leaders of the UAW, the auto workers, the AFL-CIO, the Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And I have to tell you, I've been in unions. I'm just going to make a blanket statement. Anybody that heads unions like that is full of corruption. Because unions, the dues, look, I've been in unions. I am not addressing this to union members that you're bad people. But the union leaders are. Because they take your dues and they pay off politicians and they pad their own accounts, and so that's who the Democrats wanted out there last night.
Hang on just a second, Bruce. I want to also add. Don't lose your train of thought. I want to also add that the communist movements around the world worked through unions. That's how the Chinese communists did that. The Russian communists worked through unions. I don't understand that. But they also did that here in the United States in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah. And, the Democrats are masters of trying to co-opt things. And they trotted out a couple of different country music artists last night. Now, you tell me when the Democratic Party has ever identified with country music artists. If you go to Kamala's rallies, it's all rappers and twerkers. And, you know, this has been a pattern of this campaign. All of a sudden now, Kamala Harris is adopting no tax on tips. They're also talking about giving child credits on your taxes. Well, this falls right in line with that. Like, oh, we need to co-opt the country singers away from the Republicans. So they trotted them out. They had women talking about their horrible abortion experiences and how the Republicans would keep them, they would have made them unsafe, trying to make it look like Republicans want to do away with abortion, not limit it.
Well, hang on a second. I'd like to do away with abortion.
But
I think the official position is to limit it as much as possible. But the extreme is, the extreme argument that has to be mentioned every time, and is not. They love abortion. They don't want to limit any abortions. They are providing this abortion pill, which is over half of the abortion, I think 60% of abortions now, where women are giving birth at home. Now, that sounds that's a nice way of saying it, right? No, they're delivering these babies in their toilets and having to deal with the aftermath of that. It is horrendous. It's bloody. It's murder in that case. And it's even worse because the girls are responsible for giving themselves the pill. They're the ones that do it. They're not just lying there having the baby taken from them. And the repercussions of that for years to come just make me shudder.
And just think about it, Sandy. Could anything illustrate the Democratic Party's love of abortion more than they actually have a mobile unit from Planned Parenthood, which is giving away free abortions and free vasectomies? Think about that. That's their platform. Let's give away abortions and vasectomies.
That's limiting. That is the child hatred. I don't know how else to say it. That's just preventing men from having babies, preventing women, having women take the life of their babies. What else would you call that?
Yeah. And, you know, talking about the hypocrisy of some of their people that delivered speeches last night. This woman from Michigan, who is a state representative, this Mallory McMorrow, she's the one that brought up the
Project 2025.
She brought up a huge binder, 900 pages, slammed it down on the dais, and then proceeded to tell you how dangerous it was. And all that is as you and Jeannie talked about, it's a blueprint. Would you want a party coming into power in this messed up world that did not have a plan to address all these issues on day one?
Except that's not a Republican product. It's a product of people associated, like Russ was associated with President Trump, but it's conservatives like you and I. There's no way the platform of the Republican Party, they're never as conservative as we are.
No.
And so that's not the Republican platform. Not that I'm proud of it. I wish it were.
Well, what's ironic about this is this McMorrow has been accused in the past of pushing sexualization of children in school, that she has actually groomed kids through her, pushing of this indoctrination of children into the LGBT and the gay agenda. And she's been all about this white slavery or white guilt because of slavery. Kids as young as 8 years old being told that you are bad just for being white. You are the reason that slavery happened. So that's the kind of woman that Mallory McMorrow is.
So Hillary spoke last night.
And she was all full of herself and talked about how her mother had been involved in the suffrage movement, and that they had Trump. They have him the way we want him. In other words, we've got him where we want him.
Yeah.
And the people started yelling, "Lock him up, lock him up." And remember how aghast she was when people yelled that about her, "Lock her up, lock her up." Even though she didn't reference it, she certainly didn't stop it last night. She was enjoying hearing people yell, lock him up regarding Trump. And, the Democrats are always trying to blunt everything. So how did they start the convention with Joe Biden? They had his daughter, Ashley,
the one he showered with. Oh my gosh. That's the one whose diary they found in a rehab center she was in, and they verified it was hers, and she's saying in this diary about how traumatized she was because her dad showered with her. So she's introducing him.
Right. She brought him out.
Oh,
and
Lord.
And then one of the first things Joe did was reference Hunter. They also had Jill Biden on last night.
Jill,
who I still think has promoted elder abuse and is still promoting it because she's still pushing Joe. These are the kind of people, they want you to think that they are so concerned for you. But I'm telling you, all they're concerned about is winning elections. You know, Joe became no longer viable to win elections. So what do? They push him aside. They made it look nice, but they stabbed him in the back.
Yeah, absolutely. So now I want to say one other thing. I'm a pretty, some of you won't believe this, but it's true. I could ask my husband. I'm actually pretty objective when it comes to quality of things. I mean, I know when people that I oppose have done something fabulous. I know when it's powerful, and I'll say that. That was beautifully done. Oh, my goodness, we're in trouble. I don't think that was well done. I think it was so poorly staged. The music even wasn't that good, and it was so negative. There was so much hatred and grievance and rah, rah, like Joe Biden. I don't know how regular people sat there and listened to that, and I also noticed it's not packed. It wasn't full. There were lots of empty seats. So, and I understand they were paying people to come. So anyway, if you just went toe-to-toe with what happened in the Republican convention, I don't think there's any comparison. Interestingly enough, I thought it was going to be much, much more slick and incredible than it actually was.
Yeah, I tried to be very objective while I watched it. And my comment to you while we watched it was, if I was an undecided voter and I turned that convention on last night, I don't think that that's the agenda I would want to go with, because it was so negative And while they tried to make it look glitzy, I have to tell you, I hate to use the word boring, but
it was boring.
I found myself not engaging with it at all.
Right. I also noticed that people weren't listening. Well, the girl was holding up that big book about Project 2025 and going on and on, that Mallory. They were not even listening. They didn't even respond to her when she's making all of her points.
Right. So, and we previously talked about when the Republicans had their convention. Boy, people were locked in. Right. They weren't looking at their phones. They weren't talking to each other. They were locked in.
Yeah. So just an interesting observation. I hope it means something. It may or may not. Well, this is Sandy Rios. Honey, thank you.
Thank you
for joining me. You know, you can call us at 662-821-2040, or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. Remember, I'm mentioning tweet now. I'm twitting on you here, trying to get you to sign up, because I think you'll be glad you did. When things get tougher, this will be our only source of information. And my Twitter handle is @SandyRiosTweet. You can find us, the podcast, at afr.net, AmericanFamilyRadio.net. That's home base for us. And also any podcast platform, Apple or Spotify or whatever your favorite is. Or you can go to sandyrios.com and listen pretty easily. Well, I want to thank our sponsor today, especially our newest sponsor, Timothy Plan, because they allow you to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/sandy. That's timothyplan.com/sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.